Welcome to Thrive Church Online. We are here to know God, to grow in Him, and go. We hope you feel encouraged and equipped through this week's message.
First of all, welcome to 9 a.m. the week before Christmas. I'm just going to say this. If you are, you can tell the percentage of your church that doesn't have little kids by the attendance on Little Kids Sunday, because at our 11 o'clock, our nursery and children's church will be doing their deal, which means we'll have a, I told people, first service is generally down, second service is excessively overpacked, and that's okay, you know. But the thing that I love is this, is that because we're in the holiday season, my expectation for every moment grows. I think that God has the ability to change your heart and life this morning. And I love when groups are, we're not like crazy. I mean, there several people in the room, of course. I mean, we probably have 50 people here or so. But here's the great thing. I love the more intimate moments because I feel like I can talk more straight. I welcome our online folks, but sometimes I forget they're there and I forget that people can go back and watch this like 20 hours later in their pajamas eating Oreos and criticize the stuff I say or whatever. But man, I don't know how Christmas got here, but ready or not, it's here. Like straight up, like if you're a dude and you put off ordering stuff last minute on Amazon, yesterday was when you should have been on. You may want to act like you're researching the Bible right now and start ordering some gifts. The Lord may even understand, you know, just minimize the tab. So it's crazy for us. So I had the flu this week. That's always awesome. I'm just for everybody, say I'm 72 hours without a fever, called two doctors. I'm good. You're fine. I do have a mask in my back pocket. It's doing a lot of good back there. Just so you know, so if I occasionally cough, that's what it is. You're not going to die. It's not COVID. It's nothing like that. It's everything's good. But man, I'm excited. So anyway, so I love Christmas. I love everything about Christmas. I love family coming over. We've got a big herd of people coming to our house for Christmas Eve, and then we'll go to my mom's for and Tracy's mom's for Christmas Day. And man, I just love Christmas. I love expectation of Christmas. I don't like spending at Christmas. I receive awkwardly. You know, when somebody gives you something, you're like, thank you. And you're really grateful, but then you're like, was I not grateful enough? No, I mean, really, thank you. And then you're like, wait, did that sound sarcastic or like, you know, like you try it, thou dost protest too much, kind of like, so what's the right amount of thank you? Or, you know, it's kind of like when you know the surprise party's going to happen, you open the door, and you're like, what, for me? So it was awesome this week. As I lay there, just kind of under the weather, I was like, Lord, I can't wait for all these people to come over to my house. And so for about 3 weeks, I've been researching the genealogy of Jesus because I wanted to take you on a trip through the family tree of Jesus. And it's an amazing trip. Do you know that I believe it's in Luke's gospel, maybe it's Matthew's gospel, anyway, one of the gospels, is how much research I did. They starts giving the genealogy of Jesus, and then in it, it's one of the only, if not the only, genealogy, Hebrew genealogy, that lists women in it. But in that genealogy, it doesn't list women like Sarah, like these great women of God. It lists like prostitutes. I think a couple of things that, and I'm not preaching on this morning, but I think a couple of things that if you really go read the genealogy of Jesus, that it teaches you is that God wants to use everybody. And that everybody comes from a jacked up family. Everybody's family tree's got a few nuts on it. It's got some great people in it. But you can't let where you come from dictate where you're going. Doesn't work that way. God decides what He's going to write out of the story of your life. And that journey begins right now. I was thinking about the holidays, and I was thinking about, you know, everybody's got people that come to their house that you have a talk to your wife or your husband or your kids about before they ever get there. You know your drunk uncle's coming in like 20 minutes. Hey, look, your crazy brother going to be here in about 15. You know, look, hey, kids, be careful what you say around. Aunt Ethel, she gossips to everybody in town. Hey, everybody label your cups. You can interpret that on about 5 different levels. You may really make you laugh, this, but it's true. Especially if you've got little kids. Hey, be sure you cover the seat because... Look, you ain't never had relatives till you had to tell your kids to cover the seat. Some of y'all are like, at the kitchen table? No, the other one. The loo. Isn't it funny? Isn't it funny how we start judging people, the cheater, the liar, the gossip, the alcoholic, the adulterer, fill in the blank. Isn't it funny how we start labeling people before they get there? So I'm sitting here, I'm thinking about Christmas, thinking about your holiday survival guide. How do we really survive the holidays? And man, I honestly went to the same scripture everybody else goes to for Christmas. I went to the one that you think about when you think about the baby Jesus laying in a manger, angelic hosts proclaiming his glory, shepherds abiding in a field. I went to Luke chapter 15, verse 11 through 24. Absolutely everybody's favorite Christmas story. So if you got your Bibles, let's turn to the book of Luke, chapter 15, and let's talk about the prodigal son. And Jesus said to them, there was a man who had 2 sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all that he had and took a journey to a far country, and there he squandered his property in reckless living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went out and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into the fields to the pigs, and he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate. And no one gave him anything. I think it's easy to forget that everybody comes from jacked up families. And all of those stories, all of those families are loaded with super messy stories. How people did people wrong. I know people this year that aren't going to meet with their family because of some argument that they can vaguely remember that happened 20 years ago. The reality of it is we all come from jacked up stories, and most of them are stories from one bad decision after another. Because here's what I believe. I believe that if you don't know a prodigal son, you probably are one. I think that one of the hardest things to remember and to give during the holiday season is grace. I think that God calls us to give grace liberally. Anybody ever watch, what was that lady? She had a cooking show, Paula Deen. Butter makes everything better. I can't think of a lot you can't put butter on that doesn't make better. Butter cookies. I was sharing this with somebody over the phone, and they go, butter drum. And I'm like, I'm not going to use that from the pulpit. And I was like, yeah, maybe I will. Because here's the thing. I think that the thing about prodigal sons, and I think you hear it echoed in this story, is for the prodigal, everything's good till it's not. Man, he took half his dad's estate. He took his inheritance, and he went to a foreign country, and he starts living large. And dude, he's having fun. Find a teen or a 20-year-old dude that doesn't need a wad of cash in a town nobody knows his name, and he's not going to start making one bad choice after another. See, some of us didn't even get our dad's estate. We didn't even have the decency or the sense to leave town. We did it right where we lived. And we made one bad decision after another. And some of us made, the only difference between us and the person with the reputation is we didn't get caught. The only difference in, I had somebody one time when I first went in the ministry, I hadn't been saved long. And they're like, can you believe they had a baby out of wedlock? I'm like, yeah. First time I ever talked to God that I really remember was we were having that prayer in a whole different way. Man, why? Man, you're light on sin. No. I'm just heavy on grace because I need it. Do you know what? You're going to hear in a minute that the prodigal's dad welcomes him home, right? Do you know why? And this isn't in Scripture. I just think it's true. Because I have a feeling that at one time the prodigal's dad was the prodigal. Does that make sense? Man, it's easy for me to welcome you with open arms because I've probably done it. I've probably been forgiven of it. If not, I've got a similar story. Like we're just trading. Does this make sense? So here's the thing. If you don't know a prodigal, you probably were. Everything was good with the prodigal until it wasn't. I love verse 13 through 14. It says that man, the famine hit because sooner or later the famine's going to hit for a prodigal. Because here's what I know. While the party lasts, bottom always hits. The party will last and it'll last and it'll last. And then all of a sudden, you crash into the ground. Verse 16 is what I want to key in on. It says this. Prodigal goes home, or prodigal's away, and he says this. He said he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. People are probably coming to your house this week. If not, you're going to someone's house. There's going to be a large gathering of people there. Probably some with labels and reputations. So here's my question. Are you going ready to feed them? I'm not talking about food. The prodigal being hungry was a byproduct of a lifestyle. While he needed his stomach filled, what he needed was his heart mended. So here's my question. When you go into whatever family gatherings you're going to, if you want to not just survive your family holiday, but you want to thrive, what if you went into it as a missions trip? And rather than seeing people as the issue, you saw them as the mission. What if you went in and rather than seeing drunk Uncle Clarence, you saw somebody who never really came home from Vietnam? What if rather than seeing your angry brother-in-law, you saw the guy who's scared? Scared of losing his job, scared of losing his family respect, scared of losing his house. What if we sought to restore the prodigal son this Christmas rather than judging the prodigal son? I mean, it's kind of not a Christmas message. But if you look at it, it's the whole point of the Christmas message. Jesus said, I came to seek and save that which is lost. Man, I don't want to judge the prodigal. And I'm not saying all sin is okay. You don't see that in Scripture. Let's look on. Verse 17 says this, but when he came to himself, God, I could preach that for a week. When he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And he said, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But his father said to his servants, quickly bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring the fattened calf and kill it and let us celebrate. For my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. First of all, I want you to pay attention to this. The son had been gone long enough that his sin became his identity. If you're going to really help the prodigal, you have to help people see past their label. Instead of calling a crazy Uncle Ted, maybe you celebrate the fact that he went to war. Instead of looking at your sister-in-law's alcoholism, maybe you try to deal with the pain she's covering. Does this make any sense? Here's what I wonder. Do you see prodigals as problems or possibilities? Everybody Jesus ever, can I say this? When Jesus saved me, he looked at some jacked upness. And all he saw was possibility. The guy who led me to the Lord and discipled me and started me in ministry over and like kept getting called in the pastor's office over stuff I did. And he come out and I'm like, hey man, I'm sorry. He's like, dude, I see where God's taking you. Don't worry about it. I got it. Grace came on like jelly on a warm bread. It was sweet. It was covering. You can cover a lot of holes in a biscuit with jelly. You can cover a lot of holes in somebody's life with the sweetness of grace. Maybe you need to put something on them that they don't have on themselves already. Maybe you need to call something out inside of them. That boy was never meant to live that lifestyle. He wasn't built for it. He wasn't any good at it. I love this. Scripture says this. Well, let me ask this. Are we always looking at people's past or their potential? You looking at their past? Are you looking at their potential? We've got some folks here that foster kids. I love watching them deal with them. Some of those kids, man, they first week they come in, I'm like, ooh, Jesus. Let's have a church prayer conference right now, right? But the grace that I see them extend, I'm not going to call them by name because we're on camera, but if you knew the family, like, dad's a little tougher. Mom's super sweet. She jelly. She just, it's all smooth and it's nice, right? But I watch her. She's like, hey, honey, we're not going to do that. And I'm like, ooh, that was sweet and bitter. A little salty in there. This isn't saying that we condone every behavior. This is just saying that it doesn't have to sting. That we can begin to not focus. Life is about what you focus on. You know, the other week I talked about burning all the chicken on Christmas Eve on the grill, and my Tracy's dad came and started cutting the centers out of the little piece, and he's like making little nuggets, the little pieces that weren't burnt. And I thought, this dude crazy. One, Jesus is going to have to do that 5,000 thing again if we're going to feed all these people with like 12 chicken nuggets. That's about all that's left, right? Do it again. But you better start with this water bottle if you're doing it again, because I need some help getting through this Christmas. Anyway, so if you're not from church, that's wine. So he sits there and he goes, I was like, man, what is this guy doing? And then what I figured out he was doing was this. You can focus on the burnt parts, or you can focus on what can be saved. I was quick to dismiss what could be saved because I didn't think it was enough. You ever wonder how many people burn so much of their life that they're willing to throw it away rather than looking at what God can still use? That maybe this Christmas you're called to help people see what can still be saved out of their life, what God can still use. Not what's been lost, but what's been found. I asked this question a minute ago, but how many prodigals are coming to your house? What if you took time right now to ask God to show you the prodigals that you're going to come in contact with? What if before going to every Christmas, and you know how you run around, you get the big like Aldi sack or the big like little bag with the straps. We do it all the time, like the the Lidl bag, is that what it's called, or whatever it is, let's do a checklist, make sure we get everybody's gifts. The last thing you want to do is have to drive back on Christmas, right? Oh, we forgot Aunt Sarah's gift, and now she's mad and crying or whatever. Because that crock pot's going to change your life, Aunt Linda. It'll be all right. What if we did this? What if we stopped, said, hey, before people come in, before we go out, can we as a family just stop and pray? Can we pray for the prodigal? Because at one time, we were the ones that felt weird knocking on the door. We're the one that felt weird showing up to the family event. If you haven't been on the outside, you may not understand this. But for those of us that have burned bridges, racked up bad decisions, and done things that we were ashamed of, what do we do to make it easier for the prodigal? What if we stopped before we did something and we prayed and said, God, today it's okay that you use me. It's your birthday. I'm here to serve you. This Christmas doesn't have to be the way that I envisioned it. But God, let me give life to the lifeless. Let me give hope to the hopeless. God, let me give peace to the tormented. God, however you want to use me to restore somebody, even if it's somebody I don't like, I'm willing. I love this. It says this, and he says, and he arose and came to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, felt compassion, ran and embraced him and kissed him. All before he got an apology. He didn't even, the boy had changed. He didn't know that anything had happened. I love this. It says that he felt compassion. That he ran. Man, are we quick to move to the people that need it the most? Let me ask another question. I love this. It says, and he saw him. Can you see the invisible people in the room? I'm not talking about ghosts or weird stuff like that. You know, people that have big problems oftentimes try to look like wallpaper. They just try to blend in and get through it. Can you see them? Can you see them when they're present in the room, but their heart is a long way off? Here's what I believe. I believe there are prodigals in your path. And I think you are the answer to a prayer that they might not have even prayed yet. It says this, he said, he kissed them before the son apologized. Can you love people before they're lovely? Man, it's easy to love people. Can I tell you, my favorite people to love are people who love me. No, man. Listen, I pick low-hanging fruit. You can judge me how you want to. I like being around people I like. I like being around people who like what I like. I like people who hate what I hate. I like, it's just easy. It's low-hanging fruit. Do you know who I don't like being around? People I don't like. Do you know who I hate being around even more than people I don't like? People who don't like me. The only people I dislike more than that is people who don't like me and don't mind telling me they don't like me. Do you know what? Jesus loved the unlovely. Jesus kissed the unkissable. Jesus touched the untouchable. Because Jesus always had a heart for the prodigal. Never stopped. The other thing that I love is this, is that the minute the father saw him, he was ready to throw a party. Can we be honest? The only thing the boy got right was came home. No, let's be honest. There is not a lot here to celebrate. until you put it in the perspective of the Father. Can you put your Christmas in the perspective of your Father? You know what? I'm going to celebrate anything I can find to celebrate. Uncle Fred gets on my last nerve. I promise you this, if you dig, there's something there to celebrate. Yeah, but I'm going to have to be around my ex. There's something there to celebrate. You had some kids together, didn't you? Otherwise, there ain't no reason for y'all to be together. Celebrate. Celebrate great kids. Yeah, but you know what he did to me? I don't care what he did to you. That's old news. I ain't doing it again. Look, let me tell you something. I got bit by a dog once. I ain't never been bit by a dog twice. Because if first time, shame on it. Second time, shame on me. Third time, we're going to walk slow and sing sad songs. But there are things to be celebrated. Yeah, but this hasn't been the best year. You know what? But there's been some good stuff. Yeah, but I don't know about next year. You know what? Next year may not even happen. Toot, toot, and scoot. Rap, Jesus come back and none of it gonna matter. But you know what? That broken person that's coming, they matter. Can you see them? Can you hear them? Can you celebrate what God is trying to do in their life? Can you help them celebrate something that they can't even see? At this point, all the boy wanted was a meal. His dad said, but my son was dead, but now he's alive. You know how many times I look at people and I'm like, man, God's doing something in your life. They're like, no, he's not. I'm like, yeah, he is. I see it and you don't. Yeah, my life's jacked up. Yeah, but I see what God's doing. It's okay. Man, life's never going to be the same. Oh, man, God's going to do something. Relax. Sometimes all a prodigal needs is hope. If you're a note taker, one last thing. Can you celebrate what other people condemn? I love when somebody gets sure. It happens even at church. People go, hey, I'm bringing this friend in church. And they're not really the church kind. I'm like, that's okay, neither am I. I don't do normal church real well. I tend to get asked to leave. They like me for a while. When we first started the church, I had a church call me. They offered me a job. I went and preached it a couple times where they're looking for a pastor. I was just helping. They're like, hey, would you want a job? I said, look, man, I'm real nice to date. You just don't want to marry me. Yeah, we did. Nah, you really don't. Why do you say that? And I told them. They're like, really? And I'm like, yeah. Because some of this stuff I changed in about 45 seconds. Like if you said yes, I'd say no, and then you'd say go. That's how it's going to work. Ain't no sense in hurting both of us. Call me back. I'll preach your next revival. How's that? Okay. Hired a great pastor. Here's the thing. If you're a note taker, I want you to write down four things. Can you celebrate what others would condemn? Here you go. Four things. You're going into Christmas. Can you see prodigals for their possibilities? Huge question. Second thing, can you forget the past? Can forget people past and focus on their potential. Can you let their past go and focus on what God can do? Can you love and celebrate people before they change? Last but not least, the fourth thing, can you speak life into every family member, all the ones, even the ones you don't like, can you speak life and hope into those people? See, what I wanted to do is teach on the genealogy of Jesus and deal with Jesus' family tree. But what Jesus wants you to do is focus on the prodigal so that you can see your own family tree. None of us come from the Hallmark Christmas movie where the biggest chaos is somebody's butternut cookie recipe or somebody's Christmas tree farm. I love kissing in the snow as much as the next guy. I'm just going to say this. I'm down for, I like kissing. All my married people should have said amen. All my dating people should have said, uh-huh. All my singles people should have said, by faith I receive. Truth be known, we don't all come from a Hallmark movie. We don't come from good families, most of us. Or at least not perfect families. Some of us, our kids are the prodigal son, the prodigal daughter. Some of us, a year ago, were the prodigal son or the prodigal daughter. Here's my question. When the father saw the son, he didn't look down on him. He looked out for him. Can you look out for the people that are coming? Don't look down on them. Don't judge them because they're a woman going to a well at the wrong time because she's got too much history for the town. Can you look out without gossiping and welcome them with an open heart and an open arm and say, man, you're better than this. I believe in you. I believe in what God can do through you. I see God in you. Even if you don't. So here's what I believe. And we put up every Christmas tree we want to. We can get snippy with the guy at Target who says, happy holidays, and we stomp our foot and say, Merry Christmas. You can do all that stuff. But if we can't love the broken and we can't welcome the drunkard and the sinner into our house with open arms and love them like Jesus, we miss the point of the manger. Our greatest calling is to seek and save that which was lost. Guess what? God's not asking you to go out on a mission field this Christmas. He's bringing it to your house. And he's teeing it up in the softest, most enjoyable package you can ever present it in. What are you going to do with the teed up ball? I think this. I think you can hit it out of the park. I think you can have a Christmas that totally changes your family tree. If you want to. Would you stand to your feet? Can we just pray together that as God gives us opportunities that we walk through, can we pray together? Father, right now for every person that's standing across this building, Father, I ask that right now in the name of Jesus, God, that you just open their hearts and open their lives, God, that they can welcome the prodigal in, God, that they can with open arms and open hearts, God, welcome in those that are broken. Welcome in those that are needing. Welcome in those that are torn up from the floor up, God. Those that just are absolutely crying out in the night for somebody to feed them something. God, can we feed not just their physical needs, but Father, their spiritual as well. Father, in this place, I'm just going to ask that you set a fire inside of our hearts, God, for those that are far away from you. God, just like Andrew introduced Peter to Jesus, God, let us introduce people to you. Because, God, the greatest gift we can give you is to connect people to you. God, let that be the mission and the heartbeat of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for being part of our Thrive Tribe. If you want to partner with this ministry and what the Lord is doing here at Thrive, visit thrivechurchonline.com and click on the Give tab. Help us reach more people just like you by rating and subscribing to this podcast. You don't want to miss what's coming next.